the shrink.
La 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 la. I did Cap, it for him. I didn't. Yes. I don't know
Cap,
if he's here.
I think Cappy's here. Is there,
I'm
Cap?
I'm here. But okay. Wait a second. I thought Mason saying he was leaving. I was like, it's F it Friday.
But it's only Thursday.
Yeah, but I just, with Mason leaving, I thought
it's
it was Friday.
It's the equivalent of F it Friday for me.
Oh, okay. There you go. Sedano, you were there last night. How do we explain the fact that Anthony Davis is an elite player, and he might have the best game I've seen him play as a Laker was on Sunday. Last night, DeMontis Sabonis, after we get all this press about how DeMontis kind of has AD's number and he got him again, what'd you see?
He went right at AD. He took in the first, I don't know, let's call it 42 minutes of the game. He only took 8 shots. He was very efficient, and all 8 were at AD. Like, he took it to his chest every single time.
Yeah, I don't. It's weird because I've seen AD play really great defense. He played really great defense on Sunday.
But here's the difference. And I just had this conversation with somebody because the Sacramento people called me to ask me to have, like, their radio station called me to.
Yeah, I went on with them last night too.
And AD has problems with 3 guys specifically. Okay, Sabonis, Joker, who everybody has problems with.
Yeah.
But even Nurkic, right?
Yeah, the big foreign dudes.
The 3 things that those guys have in common, they go right at your chest, okay? AD's defensive prowess is not a power game. AD's prowess on defense is his athleticism.
Right.
And being able to recover and things like that and use his length to his advantage. And a lot of guys are hesitant to go at AD because of his athleticism and length. But if you go right at his chest, that's his kryptonite.
Kepi, as you know, I'm the resident shameless Lakers apologist at the station. Do I now have to start accepting with 15 games left that they're probably headed for the 9-10 game, or is it too early to say that?
Yeah, so, I'm riding this roller coaster, Johnny I, and 2 days ago, I was like, okay, they're going to make it into the top 6. In fact, George and I were looking at the last 16 games, and we're like, you know, they're going to go 12-4.
No, you said that.
What'd you say?
I said that 12-4 is like if everything broke their way.
Well, just remember this. Again, roller coaster. I may have said they were going to go 16-0. But now today?
No, that would be Ireland and Michael.
Yeah, that would be the two of us.
Now today, it's like they're done, they're toast. Listen, if you can't beat Denver, which is fine, but if you can't beat Sacramento, forget it. This season's toast.
I don't think it's toast yet. I think it's matchup driven, though, George.
Correct.
I think that they need to get the right matchup or else it could be a short postseason run.
Right. And here's the thing. If they end up in the 9-10 game, let's say they find a way to win that that matchup to be the 8 seed and beat whoever.
Yeah, if the season ended today, the 9-10 game would be Warriors at Lakers.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the 7-8 would be Phoenix and Denver, okay?
It wouldn't be Phoenix and Denver. It would be Phoenix and Dallas.
I'm sorry, Dallas. That's what I mean. Sorry, Dallas.
Come on, George.
So let's say the Lakers beat the Warriors, then they go on the road and beat the loser of Phoenix and Dallas. They would probably end up having to face Denver. Denver's going to be the 1 seed.
I agree.
They have the easiest schedule in the Western Conference left.
Yeah, the perfect scenario is that, or not perfect, but the ideal scenario for the Lakers is they somehow get the 7 and draw Oklahoma City in the first round, who they match up well against.
I mean, the perfect scenario for them would be to be the 6. Because if you can get the 6,
I don't think they can get there. Do you?
I mean, it's not
impossible.
Thought
they could earlier in the week.
Yeah, Cappy thought they might be the 5 by earlier in the week. Yeah. It's not impossible, but it's certainly not looking likely anymore because they're 3 games back. So, I would say this: if they can somehow get the 6, then they avoid Denver the whole way until the conference finals.
Right, but here's the thing that worries me. They've had 4 games over the past 3 weeks against teams that they are chasing in the West, and they've lost all 4. Mm-hmm. They lost at Golden State, they lost at Phoenix, they lost at home to Sacramento, and then again last night.
Yep.
If they would have gone even 2-2 in those games, they'd be right there, George, going for that 6 like you're talking about.
Yep.
But by losing all 4...
Yep.
I'm starting to think there's too many teams to leapfrog.
It is tough. It's going to be very difficult. 3 games doesn't seem like a lot, but to your point, those other teams have to kind of implode a little bit. And I just don't know if I see that happening either.
You know, the thing you said, Giorgio, is that let's just say they are in the 9-10 game, and let's say Golden State comes to L.A., and let's say the Lakers win that game at home, right? And then they have to go on the road to either Dallas or Phoenix. Right. I'll ask you guys. You guys feel good about a road game in Dallas or Phoenix?
They've won in both places, Cap. Yeah. They're not scared of either one of those teams. But to George's point, what comes next is the problem. Yeah. even if they win that game.
You're right.
But I would be more worried about Phoenix than Dallas.
Yeah, even if they win it. Which, you know, is at best a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll realize the importance of these last 15 games. They have 8 road and 7 home. And this game on Saturday is an ABC game. It's the They've actually played well in those games. They won a double overtime game in San Francisco on an ABC Saturday night game. They won in New York against the Knicks, snapped a Knicks 9-game winning streak. They tend to get up for these games. And if they lose it, George, then we got to start talking about them maybe being the 10 and having to play the whole thing on the road.
On the road, right. Then they would have to, in theory, if they got past the play-in, they would have 4 straight road games to start their playoff adventure. And Steph could be available on Saturday.
This is actually kind of a disaster when you really think about what we're talking about. 15 games to go, and we're talking about will they be the 9 and host? Will they be a 10 and have to go on the road? And look, last year they found themselves playing and getting hot at the right time of the year. And look, I'm still bullish on the idea of Gabe Vincent coming back and Jared Vanderbilt coming back and extra bodies and fresh legs. But, I mean, this was supposed to be a much better team this year because they had a nucleus from last year. And, by the way, LeBron and AD, for the most part, have been healthy. I mean, how many total games has AD missed, or how many total games has LeBron missed? You guys might know this off the top
of your head. LeBron's missed 9. AD's missed less.
Okay, how 4, about that?
I believe.
Yeah.
So how about that? You know, these guys have played pretty much the entire season healthy. And,
right.
You know, listen, you could sit here and tell me about LeBron and his ankle and his ongoing issues, but you understand what I'm saying. They've played in the vast majority of the games, like 85, 90%.
Yeah, and going back to last night, George, I think they can survive a night when LeBron doesn't play or doesn't play well. They're 5-4 without LeBron, so they figured out ways to win without him. But they can survive a night where LeBron's off. They can survive a night where AD's off. They've survived a lot of nights and won a lot of games when D'Angelo Russell's off. I don't think they can survive a night when all three of them are off, and that was the case last night.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And look, I think it's look, the reality is, and I know he's played great recently, and he's had incredible stretches. He won the Milwaukee game. I don't trust D'Angelo Russell at the end of the day. I still don't trust him.
Even with as well as he's played recently?
No, yeah. Because the regular season and the postseason are two different games. And I don't trust him for 4 rounds. I don't.
You trust AD for 4 rounds?
I trust him way more than D'Angelo Russell, that's for sure. Are you kidding with that conversation?
But what I'm asking you is, do you trust him?
AD outplayed last night, but he still put up some numbers. AD, even when a guy like Sabonis plays better than him, it's not like he leaves you with nothing.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell had 1 point for like most of that game.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just asking because, you know, today, you know, George is likely going to send somebody to Terminal H. I mean, it's highly possible. That listeners today will go into the circle of trust. They'll say something negative about AD's performance last night, and guys could get tossed real quick. So I'm just asking, you know, you say you don't trust D'Angelo. I'm asking, do you trust AD?
Yes, I trust Anthony Davis, who's already won a championship. All right. All right. Yes, I do.
Right, and he's played on the biggest stage, Cap. Even though AD, Domantas Sabonis seems to have AD's number, he is a fantastic player, especially defensively.
Right. Domantas Sabonis, by the way, he's one of these guys that should be an all-star every year. Like, yeah, he just doesn't
get
the votes.
Why do you think he wasn't this year? Just too many good players in front
of him? There's too many good big men in the Western Conference is the problem. Should Jamal Murray not be an all-star? You know what I mean?
Good point.
He's the second best player on a championship team.
It's weird.
And to your point, John, it's not like AD. Yeah, he had a bad game by AD standards. He still had 22-10 last night.
Hey, I'm going to change subjects on you guys because we didn't get to this on our show, and I'm curious what you guys think. This story about Aaron Rodgers being under consideration to be RFK's running mate.
Yeah.
He couldn't do that and play football, could he?
Yeah, he could. Yeah, for sure, 100%.
How?
100%. 100%. Couple of things. Number one, what does the vice president really do? I mean, the vice president is like a completely worthless job. I mean, you could be playing football and being the vice president, no problem. I mean, you could be the vice president and have another job that nobody would even know the difference. I mean, the vice president is so inconsequential. So I believe Aaron Rodgers could do both. If he really
I don't think he has any chance to win, but I think that the campaign would be really hard to do while you're playing. And I mean, the election's in November and the football season starts a month before that.
Right, but you campaign during the football season from the Jets complex. You just, every time you go to a press conference.
That wouldn't be distracting.
No, every time you go to the press conference. And by the way, you say it's not distracting. Remember what he said a few weeks ago when he was kind of having like his end of the season press conference? Too many things happen around this facility that are not about winning. And anything that happens around the Jets facility that is not about winning, we should not be doing that. So he told his team and his organization, anything that is not about winning, drop it. Don't bring it here, and look what he's doing. He is a beauty. And I'll tell you something right now, John. It has taken me a long time. I'm one of these guys who it just takes a long time. For example, I held on to Russell Wilson for the longest time and thought, you know what? Russ is cool. Russ is cool. In the meantime, the whole world is telling me, no, man, Russ is corny. Russ is corny. And it took me a long time to go from the cool side to the corny side. Russell Wilson, corny. Aaron Rodgers, for the longest time, I want to like Aaron Rodgers. I did like Aaron Rodgers. There were a lot of reasons why I liked Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron Rodgers is becoming, like, he's borderline going to get canceled if he doesn't stop. Seriously. He's become that annoying. Well, even to somebody like me.
Yeah, the problem with him running, even in a campaign where he doesn't have much of a chance to win, is, George, all of his prior beliefs get pushed to the front burner. Mm-hmm. And that's the definition of distracting.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I don't know how he could do both, but we'll see.
All right, I have a question for you. Now, you working for the Lakers yesterday, is there any talk at all, any buzz of any kind about Jeannie's older brother, Johnny? I don't know him. I'm guessing you might have met him at some point.
Yeah.
Did you? And we all watched Succession, right?
Right.
We all watched it. He's like the new Connor Roy of the Bus family, because you heard about him saying that he's running for president, right?
It doesn't surprise me. Johnny was going to go on Survivor. He likes to take big swings. He's a very likable guy. I haven't heard that he's actually going to file to run for president. Has he said he's going to do that?
Yeah, there was a story yesterday. It was kind of bouncing around the internet that he is now, you know, putting out there that he's running for president.
Okay. We'll see how that goes.
I guess there was no buzz about that yesterday.
Well, I guess maybe if Steve Garvey can win a primary by not campaigning at all, maybe somebody else could do it. It'd be a much bigger stage.
Here's a story from the LA Times, okay? And it says, here's the headline. Johnny Buss, brother of Lakers owner Jeannie Buss, is running for president. This is today, March 14th. A family often compared to the fictional Roy family, oh my God, how funny, is living out one of the show's storylines. Johnny Buss, the brother of Lakers Governor Jeannie Buss, is running for president of the United States, according to documents filed with the Federal Election Committee and the official website for his campaign. Johnny, are you planning on voting for Johnny Buss?
I know Johnny. It would be I could probably get a free trip to the White House if he wins, Cap.
I mean, dude, you could be friends with the
party does it say?
Independent?
I'm guessing he's an independent.
Yeah. Well, I'll listen to what his platform is. Sure, why not?
Yeah, what the hell?
That's what I say. Why not, Cap? Let him run. Anybody can run in this country. Why not?
He's Connor Roy. And for those of you that haven't seen Succession, you're too late to the party. Sorry for ruining it for you.
Well, I don't think he ruined anything. Connor runs for president. You can watch the show to see if he wins.
Listen to this. According to campaign documents, Johnny Buss filed for his candidacy on January 30th. He spent $118,000, according to government filings, $1,500 for hairstyling expenses, $36,500 for a film production company. These are all things I suppose are related. That's a pretty expensive haircut.
Well, you know, hair is important.
$1,500.
As anybody in the public eye will tell you, you know, you got to take care of the hair.
I know, but I just had my hair cut and colored for like $40.
It wasn't over $1,000?
No. Okay. $40.
Good
cash.
To know. All right, I'm handing it over to you guys.
Where are you going?
Sandano and Cap. Oh, I got things to do, man. I got to cut like 19 spots. You know how
those
days
go, Cap. What time did you guys get home last night?
Too late. Like, I don't know, 1 in the morning.
No.
Yo, did you fly home this morning, George?
Yeah, they don't have a late night flight from there, so I had to fly this morning. Yeah.
Why can't you jump on the Lakers plane? There's no room for you on the Lakers flight?
Well, I mean, he could ask.
Right, although, it's fine.
he's in the saddle, ready to go. Sedano and Cap next. ESPN LA.
Let's take it down. Boom, ba da bing, ba da ba, pick a doom. Let's take it back up. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Boom, ba da ba, ba da ba, pick a doom, da da bing, tick a doom, da da ba. Yeah.
You know, Cappy, when like a football team travels, you know how they have like multiple buses?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's how many people are going to Terminal H today.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay.
Let me explain something
to you. Okay. Yes, Domantas Sabonis took care of business against AD again, okay? No question about that. However, I don't think the coach helped him at all in that game, okay? And here's what I would say.
Well, first off, they hired him.
Thank you, Brian.
Is that the first thing you're going to say?
No, not that. Actually, wouldn't be. Yes, he played Rui. You know, he started Rui, and they're 10-4 when Rui starts.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a stretch, particularly early, I believe it was the second quarter, where Sabonis really started to get going, where he substitutes, when Sabonis came out,
mm-hmm.
okay, or when Sabonis was in there, mm-hmm. AD gets subbed out at one point, okay?
Okay.
And he had Jackson Hayes in for a very short stint, but then replaced it with Taurean Prince going small at the four.
What?
And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what? Why is that a thing still? Like, Taurean Prince at small forward is not great necessarily. How is it we're going to play him at power forward? Like, how does that make sense? So there are stretches in the game where I'm sitting there and I'm watching and there's really no other protection for AD. Where I'm like, does he have to do it all by himself defensively? Because there's not a lot of good defenders out there on the floor with him on a regular basis. Okay? Because Rui helps a little bit there. But let's be honest. If we're being real here.
Okay? Let's be really, really real. Let's get raw. Let's raw dog this thing.
Austin Reeves, for as good as he was in the first quarter, he's not a good defender. Right? Yes, would agree.
Yeah, we're raw dogging. We're just over here barking.
Okay, now a little extra. Would you agree, Austin Reeves, not a good defender?
Okay, I'll buy that. Keep going.
Right. Oh, listen, I'll tell you this.
All right, tell me.
The Sacramento Kings call up Austin Reeves in every pick and roll they can or every switch they can. Okay, I know that for a fact. Okay, D'Angelo Russell, not a good defender. Correct.
Yeah, I mean by his own admission.
Okay. LeBron at 39, what would you say? What kind of defender do you think he is on it for in a per 40 plus minute basis?
LeBron is a married man defender.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
What it means is he don't want to get he don't want to get too dirty. He don't want to take too many risks.
Right. You know? Right. So, there are stretches where he will play defense, but he's got to conserve certain energy at certain points in the game. Understandably so.
Yeah, because AD
is the only guy defending back there on a regular basis.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so when he's got one of those matchups, like a Sabonis, like a Jokic, even Nurkic, right? Who, as I said, he struggles with the guys who put it in his chest, all right? A guy who, you know, he can't use his athleticism and his length necessarily on because they just play more of a more powerful game than he does. That's when he needs help. That's when he needs a helping hand from his coach, which is why when you hear some of the comments about schematics and defense, he's kind of the first one to kind of go the opposite way of the coach. And I love the coach, so this is a hard conversation for me to have.
Why? Why do you love him so much?
I like him. I like him. I like him. He's honest. He makes my job easy when I do the job.
First off, they hired him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. And I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think that...
He's not a good coach?
I just think he's a young coach. Mm-hmm. But this is what you hired him, to Brian's point.
Mm-hmm.
You hired a young coach.
Hired him.
Mm-hmm. Right. You hired a young coach. So when you hire a young coach, for a team that has championship aspirations, you're going to have some of these problems.
Well, I mean, you're sitting here picking apart his substitutions and who's on the floor and who's on the floor for Sacramento, who's on the floor for the Lakers. You're sitting here saying, how could they put Taurean Prince at this position? I mean, it doesn't sound like you think he's a good coach.
I think he's a young coach, and young coaches make mistakes.
Okay, and young coaches aren't really necessarily
good. And by the
way,
if you look at his staff, and I kind of did this a little research here on his staff, okay? His staff, if you look at their history, okay, like Gent and Ott, the other two assistants besides Phil Handy.
Gent and Ott.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They.
Coach Gent. Shout out to Coach Ott.
Okay.
Fuck.
They are also, historically, small ball, offensive spacing type guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not like anyone on the staff that's going to go against that that mantra. If that's what Darvin wants to do, play, you know, that's what fans were pissed off about last year, the three guard lineups. He did a little yesterday, played Dinwiddie. He went away from Jackson Hayes when he's the only other big body you can play when AD's not in the game. And, you know, he's playing these small lineups. And here's, you're playing against a Sacramento team that's not necessarily very small. So,
but let me throw something
at you.
I just
don't understand how you don't lean into your strength, which is your size.
Okay, but let's talk about AD, because you've said that there's multiple buses and they're lined up and people are getting ready to get on those buses.
We're judging him based on his own like excellence, right? So a 7 of 18 game is not a good game for anybody, but certainly not for him.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he still had 22 and 10.
Okay, but
and he's the only one out there playing defense. So that's part of my problem: is how can I judge him fairly when he's out on an island defensively almost the entire game?
Okay, well let's judge him based on this though. You ready? You've said it against big, powerful, strong guys who like to bowl their way towards the basket. They'll drop a shoulder, they'll put it into his chest, and you're saying he can't handle it, right?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, I mean, he struggles against those type of guys, sure.
Okay, and there's a lot of those kinds of guys, particularly in the Western Conference, aren't there?
Well, look, there's the three guys I mentioned, yes.
Okay, so, and those three guys play on teams that are better than the Lakers.
Yes, right now, currently, yes.
Okay, and the Lakers have one of the premier big men in the entire game, in the entire league, in Anthony Davis, right? But against those three guys, he struggles.
He does.
So you have to figure out a way
as a coach to help your guy.
Okay.
Yes.
But as an individual player, you got to figure out how to get better against those kinds of players because you're going to see him every year.
Okay. But I would say this. Struggle is actually a strong word, okay? Because yes, he's had a few games here and there, but I'm sure if I looked it up, he didn't struggle in every single one of those games on the offensive end.
Okay, but hold on. I just want to point this out to you because here's the thing. Remember last year we were talking about AD and I was constantly complaining to you. God, he's always flopping around like a fish out of water. Like you brought a big old fish on your boat. And he's just flopping all over the place and he's always on the ground. And you said what? He's got to learn how to get better with his footwork, right?
I have said that in the past, yes.
Okay, and I think he's been better this year. I mean, he's still flopping around like a big old fish at times, but I don't think he's flopping around as frequently. He's not as frequent a flopping fish as usual, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of F's right there, George.
Yeah, I saw
that. Cappy, you a freak, man.
Thanks, man.
There's another F for you. I got an F for you, too, if you don't hurry up.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, this next offseason, he is going to have to work on either his size, his toughness, his willingness, his resolve, whatever it is, because you're going to see these centers every year. And well, every year, you can't also just keep getting bullied around.
Right, but I would say this. I mean, if you look at last year's playoff series against Jokic, I mean, Jokic scores on everybody. You know what I mean? But AD had a good offensive series in that series. They didn't win any games, but he had a good offensive series. What I would say to you is this. I don't think the scheme helps him, is what I'm telling you. He's the only one back there defending. He's playing this Milwaukee Bucks drop coverage type defense where he's just got a sag. And by the time guys get to him, they're right there in the paint. It's just, it's not a good scheme for him. Like, it's not. He's not this thick Brook Lopez type of player who's got marginal athleticism. You need to cater to his strengths. His strengths is, weak side recovery, things of that nature, right? Like being able to use his athleticism and length to his advantage. And this particular scheme does not allow him to do that on a regular basis.
All right. So should we send Coach Ham to Terminal H and just get rid of him once and for all?
Well, he's flying private. I can't really send him to Terminal H. You know
okay.
I mean?
Well, I mean, listen, when they fire him.
I think you guys are a little worked up and maybe we need to do like some positive affirmations.
I don't disagree that to start the next segment, daily affirmations are a good thing. I think that's fine. I mean, it's good for me anyway.
I think we should start every show, like put them in there at the first segment every show and make like, you know, positive vibes.
No, nobody cares about positive affirmation when people are pissed off about the Lakers.
Well, that's the
you
thing.
You can do that in the second segment.
Get angry.
But in the first segment, people are pissed off.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll tell you something else. I want to see who's got the guts. Who has got the guts in the circle of trust to tell Sedano that he's wrong about AD, to beat up on his guy, and who is Sedano going to send to Terminal H first? I want to know that. That's something that's very interesting to me today. Who's got the guts out there to tell Sedano he's wrong about his boy AD?
We're going to kick you in the teeth, and we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Is that how tough he needs to be?
I don't know, man. Who's got the guts out there? Anybody got the guts, or y'all a bunch of gutless fools?
Jabronis.
Circle of trust is, they're kind of untrained eyes, Cappy. So there is that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
These people don't know anything about sports or basketball.
They're not
for that
in
matter.
The league.
Yeah, these guys don't know jack squat about basketball.
Yeah, untrained.
You guys know who you are. You guys know who you are. You think you could watch basketball on TV and know something about basketball? What, are you going to break out your JV high school basketball career on me and tell me all about it? You people don't know anything.
DeAndre knows what I'm talking about.
That's why you're going to Terminal 8.
DeAndre knows how to basketball.
He don't know. He don't know either. He don't know.
D-cash money.
That's right.
Cappy, I will get people loaded up to Terminal H. And speaking of Terminal H, I'm going to build it at LAX because changes are already arriving daily to help transform the travel experience. So let me get you quicker out there to Terminal H. The LAX economy parking structure is now open with thousands of smart parking spaces as well as hundreds of EV charging stations. And I'll build a charging station and a bus stop for you there at Terminal H. Modernized terminals have biometric gates for faster boarding. Who doesn't want to get to their flight faster? Well, maybe those going to Terminal H don't want to get on their flight faster, but the rest of us certainly do. And a new facility for your friends and family that are visiting will have all major rental car brands under one roof. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, I've been there already. And soon, the thing that will connect us all, the People Mover train, will connect travelers to the rental car facility, to the terminals, and you, the locals, to LA Metro. That LA Metro station right there on Century, you'll be able to get out there for LA Metro to Century, take the People Mover train to your terminal. At LAX, changes are arriving daily to reduce traffic, save guests time, and transform the travel experience. For more information, go to their website, flylax.com/transforminglax, flylax.com/transforminglax. Daily affirmation and how I had to show real restraint, Cappy, yesterday before the game started because of, let's just call it a run-in with someone in Sacramento, okay? You ready for that? That's
ready.
Next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Yeah.
Like no one else.
I'm just looking in the circle of trust, George, to see if there's anybody who's got any guts out there. Let's see here. Beto and Whittier, can AD go to Terminal H? That's a question for you. George, Kenny, or can't he?
It's a great question. I'd have to think about that one.
I actually think you guys should be asking a different question. The question is, should Coach Ham go to Terminal H?
Well, first off, they hired him.
That's true.
All right, let's do some daily affirmation to bring the temperature down before I tell you a little run-in I had in Sacramento.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. I hope you kick some ass.
I wasn't thrilled, let's just say, but I had to restrain myself, let's just say. But go ahead. What do we got today, Lindsay?
All right, Lindsay, come on. Give it to us.
No, no, Cappy, the exercise is you reading them, remember?
Oh, I'm going to read
them.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I thought it was you.
No, it's Cappy. He's the one who needs them, right?
I know, but I was, you know, and listen, I'm happy to read them, but I want to say in the future, I have this thought that I would like to be on the receiving end rather than on the delivering kind of end. I'm more of a receiver kind of guy, you know what I mean? Than the give kind of guy.
But what is me like saying positive affirmations when they're directed towards the person reading them? How is that going to benefit you?
I don't know. I'd like you to give it to me.
So you start.
All right, here we go. George, remember, all these daily affirmations are because I'm very mean to myself, okay? Mm-hmm. Very hard on myself.
Yeah.
I'm always telling myself how fat I am, how disgusting I am.
Right.
How dumb I am, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen to this one.
Okay.
I am grateful for my body. Here's another one.
Oh, I thought that was it? I thought there was more. Sorry.
No, it's very simple. These are quick one-liners.
Good one-liners. Let them sink in.
Right. Like, yeah, let feel this, George.
Okay, I'm feeling it.
I am powerful and present.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Here's one more for you.
Uh-huh. Close your eyes while you say them, Cap.
Yeah. I got one more for you.
One more?
I choose not to criticize myself or others. Actually, hold on. Let me rephrase that. I choose not to criticize myself, but I'm going to criticize the hell out of everybody else.
Right.
including AD. Including AD and Coach Ham.
Yeah, it's kind of part of the gig.
I choose not to criticize myself, but if you suck and you get bullied by bigger, stronger dudes taking you to the hoop, I'm going to criticize you. Sorry.
Yeah.
But not sorry.
See, now don't you feel better, Cappy?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm telling you, I've been looking in the mirror recently, and my first instinct is to go, look at you, you fat, disgusting slob. And then I remember I catch myself, and I go, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself.
We're on day three of these. Do you feel like they're having any impact at all whatsoever?
Slowly but surely, I am starting to love myself more and stop beating up on myself over my fat, disgusting belly.
Now, George and DeAndre, I said today, I was like, I'm going to start sending them to everyone because I was just sending them to Cap because I feel like it's a good exercise. Do you guys feel like I should continue sending them in the group chat or just to Cappy?
I mean, sure. It's fine. Yeah.
I mean, positive, George, do you say mean things to yourself? Or do you say things like, I'm perfect?
No, I definitely don't say that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Just asking.
He says things like,
mean to myself. Yeah, I don't know.
DeAndre, do you say anything?
I feel like you're a little emo, Cap. You're like you're all over the place.
Yeah, I am. I am. Yeah. And by the way, I am when it comes to the Lakers, too. I'm on that roller coaster. Yeah. I'm on that emotional roller coaster.
And people can be emotional today because it's a ticket Thursday on 710 ESPN. Keep listening all day long for your cue to call. And when you hear it, be caller 7 at 877-710 ESPN. And win a pair of tickets to the Hollywood Bowl on April 11th for the Keep the Party Going concert, a tribute for Jimmy Buffett, featuring performances by Paul McCartney, the Eagles, John Bon Jovi, Zach Brown, Jackson Brown, Brandi Carlile, Kenny Chesney, Eric Church, Sheryl Crow, Jack Johnson, Pitbull, Dale, and the Coral Reefer Band.
I really want to go to that.
Plus more, then go. Plus more special guests. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com, but win them before you can buy them here on a Ticket Thursday on 710 ESPN.
Talk about the emotional roller coaster when you lose to Sacramento last week. Done, toast, dead. You beat Milwaukee. Oh my God, they're back, especially without LeBron. Mm-hmm. While he was canoodling, okay, with Jeannie and Linda Rambis.
You can't say that. Stop that. Yeah, you didn't say he's canoodling with his boss.
What do you mean? They were canoodling. Isn't that the definition of canoodling?
They were talking.
What is canoodling?
Canoodling is like, I don't know.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. If you don't know, then how do you know that it's not?
No, I mean, it's...
Canoodling, definition.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is like embracing, isn't it?
Yes.
No. Canoodling is like you're sitting around...
An informal verb that means to engage in amorous embracing, caressing, and kissing.
Oh, okay, that's
maybe
a little
much. They were
not
doing that.
Okay,
see?
They weren't canoodling. All right, might be.
Embracing and fondling. Yeah, that's not what they were doing.
No, they were kind of sitting around giggling and laughing. To me, that was canoodling, okay?
No, you got your verbs wrong.
Yeah, canoodling has a sexual connotation.
Right.
Yeah. I did not know that. That is wild. That I did not know. You beat Milwaukee without LeBron when he was sitting there being jovial, probably having a discussion about Johnny Buss running for president with Jeannie. That's what the laughing was all about. And then you beat Minnesota, and I'm like, oh my God, these guys are going to work their way into the top six. These guys are going to be champions. And then you get crushed last night again by Sacramento. And I say crushed, I mean, it may not have been 30 or 40 points, but come on, man. You know, you just can't beat this team. If you can't beat these guys.
They're good.
I understand they're good, but they're not great.
No, I mean, but there's only one great team
right,
in the West.
But I mean, record-wise, you know, just record-wise. You know,
aren't they on? I'm pretty sure they're on a better pace than they were last year when they won nearly 50 games. So.
Sacramento?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I want to say last year when the playoffs came around, they may have been like the 3 or 4 seed.
Yeah, they were a higher seed, but the West was worse, is what I'm saying. Like, they're on pace to actually win as many, if not more, games.
Well, they've got 38 wins so far, and the Lakers have 36 wins. So there's two games or two wins that separate these two teams, and the Lakers cannot beat this team.
Yeah. Well, they're also 3 games back, period, in general. Because they're 4 in the loss column. So
I want to hear this story about what happened to you yesterday in Sacramento.
So
in Sacramento?
So I'm at the game, right? And I'll try to make this as quick as possible. We've got to get to Dr. Clapper.
How are you?
So I get to the arena, and usually we get there pretty early, whatever. We have these meetings with the coaches and the players or whatever, behind the scenes without any cameras or whatever. And we get like... kind of stuff we can say on the record, some context behind off the record, et cetera, et cetera. Which I'll have more about later, because about this D'Angelo Russell story that Dave McMiniman dropped. Because I asked Coach Ham about it. And I can tell you what the conversation was on the record about it. So anyway, we're done with all these meetings. I go out to my position on the sideline, right? Which is usually at the scorer's table, second row in Sacramento. And it's at the end of the scorer's table, right? And there's like my name tag says there's George Sedano, ESPN. There's two monitors. There's a box score monitor and then like a monitor to see like replays and stuff like that, right? So I put my bag on my chair, right? And I walk away because I have to go do some stuff at the other table where Doris and Ryan Rucco are.
You got anything valuable in your bag that you're worried that somebody might take it?
No, just my computer, really. It's not, you know.
It seems kind of valuable. I mean,
I guess. But nobody, you can't get to that place if you're a fan, you know?
Okay.
Like, unless you have, like, the high-priced seats. Like, if you're, like, the courtside seats.
Okay.
But, like, there's a big separation even from there. There's, like, security people there. Like, it's not like somebody can just grab it. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's not the point. Let me focus on the point.
Focus.
So anyway, I leave, right? I go do my thing. We go through our rehearsal. Game is about to tip, okay? I'm walking back to my seat, and then I look, and my seat is gone. Like, the seat physically is not there.
The chair. Somebody has taken the chair.
Taken the chair.
Where's the bag?
My bag is on the table.
Oh, my.
Like, where my chair was.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
And I look to the guy sitting there.
Yeah.
And he's like the Lakers stats guy. And I say, I look at him and I say, and before I could even say, where's my chair?
Yeah.
He says, oh, they took my chair. So, you know, I had to take a chair because I have to sit down because I have to do the stats for the game, for the Lakers broadcast. And I say to him, but you took my chair. Like you just said they took your chair. Why didn't you ask for another chair? Why did you take my chair? And he said, well, I got to do the game. And he's like getting all huffy and puffy on me. And I just said, okay, man. And I gave him the hand like a Heisman almost. Like, okay. I was like, okay, man, I'll just get another chair. And he's still trying to like explain. And I'm like, no, no, no. And I gave him the hand again.
Okay,
like,
double hand.
And I'm like, no, bro, we're good. Okay. So I get on my mic, on my talk back, on my microphone, because there's like a button I can talk directly to the producer. And I say, Paul, the producer, the Lakers stats guy took my chair. And he hears me saying it. He's like trying to explain. I go, no, bro. I give him the hand again. I go, no, bro. I'm dealing with this. Okay. And I go, Paul, can somebody bring me a chair? And then the security person hears me and she asks me, did they take? And I said, yes. She goes, we'll try to get you a chair as quickly as possible. Game is literally about to start. Like, the guys are lining up to tip. And I'm, like, standing, which then puts me in a tough spot because there's people behind me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sit down. Down in front.
Right. So I don't want to be the person who's standing and ruining somebody's experience. So then our operations guy comes to me, really nice guy, the ESPN guy. He's like, what's going on? I explained to him what happens. He's like, okay, I'll get it done. So the PR guy comes. He says the same thing. I'm like, I just need the chair. So they finally bring me the chair. So I sit down and I text, while this is happening, I text Trudell. And I said, do you guys travel a stats person? And he's like, no, we don't. We don't travel stats person. It's got to be a local person. So I'm like, okay. Because if it was like a Lakers person, I would have been like, yo, like I would have had the conversation like, dude, come on, like you got to be better than this. Like, but I still was not thrilled about it. And so I sit down, right?
And now you're sitting next to the guy that stole your chair.
Right. And he's still trying to like talk to me about like, but I've got my earpiece in. I can't hear. I'm like, I can't hear you, bro. I'm focusing on the game right now. Like, you should do your job.
Focus.
Correct. So I'm like, all right. And then I'm looking at the monitor in front of me is the box score. So I'm looking at the box score, game's going on. So I hear Ryan Rucco say, let's take a look at this replay. So I look to my left and I'm like, where's my replay monitor?
Don't tell me this guy took your replay monitor.
He moved it like even further down to the other side of him because he wanted to put his laptop there.
This guy got a set of balls. Who is this guy?
So I look at him. I say, you moved the monitor too? And then he's like trying to explain to me. And I gave him the hand one more time. Like, forget it, man. Just do what you got to do. So it was like annoying. So I don't know who this guy is.
Oh, I need a name.
He lives in Sacramento. So they approached me afterwards, the Sacramento people. And I was I'm like, look, man, he clearly I don't know. Like, I wouldn't have done that. I would have just asked for a chair. If somebody would have taken my chair, I wouldn't have taken someone else's. But clearly that's how he handled business. So we'll just move on. It is what it is. But
no,
like,
it's not.
Clearly
it's
I wasn't
not what
thrilled
it is.
About
it's
it.
Not what it is. Okay. It's not. All right. Don't. I don't want to hear about the hand. All right. I want to know. I need names. I want to know who this person is. First of all,
I don't know his name. I didn't care to know his name. I needed to do my job.
Okay. First of all, you don't touch somebody else's stuff. That's number one.
Well, you removed my bag, which I was not thrilled about.
You don't touch somebody else's stuff, especially when their name is there.
Yeah.
It says George Sedano, ESPN. Okay. Right. You're there to do your job. You got your name tag. You got your chair. You got your replay monitor. You got your box score monitor. Those are the tools of the trade. All right. That's number one. You don't touch my stuff. Any of you touch my stuff, and we got a problem. All right?
It was a very strange deal. So that guy goes, he's going to Terminal H.
He needs to go to Terminal F, as in Terminal Fired. Had it. And by the way, you should have given him a smack.
No, I wasn't going to put my hands on somebody.
You give him a little smack.
Yeah.
No, I show him who's boss.
I gave him the hand. Talk to the hand.
The hand was not enough.
Yeah.
I would like to
know. We're going
to
talk
like
to
know
next,
names.
Though.
You should have taken a picture of his name.
I couldn't see his name tag because his like charts that he was writing his stats on were on top of it. So
you know, I'll tell you something right now. You need security at these games.
Well, there was security next to me.
No, you need your own security guy next to you at all times during these
games. Dr. Clapper, he's going to join us next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I thought we weren't allowed to play Will Smith music because of you.
I'm still on a Will Smith boycott. So that's why instead of
Well, you know what I love to say to is Dr. Clapper, who joins us here. Yes. Hello, Dr. Clapper.
How are you? Good to hear your voice.
What's going
Same
on
here,
doctor?
Buddy? So, Doc, obviously, what's on everybody's mind right now when it comes to injuries is Shohei Ohtani. So I was in Arizona a couple weeks ago, and every time he comes up to bat, it is like dead silent. And cameras are out, and people are just, they're focusing on him. And the constant chatter is, you know, when he'll be able to pitch again, and you know, what an incredible journey this will be for the Dodgers, what an incredible signing. So he had a second Tommy John surgery, or at least some semblance of it, right? He's not even actually used the phrase Tommy John. But what do we know about this second surgery that he had, and why is it different, or how is it different from the first surgery that he had with the Angels?
So the original surgery, and I'm going back 50 years, is way back when it was first done to Tommy John himself. The great Dr. Job, who I was a fellow with in 1988, what a joy. It was like being a musician, getting to write a song with John Lennon. That's how amazing it is to have spent time with the great Frank Job. His idea was, let's put the ligament, a brand new one, where the old one wore out. The Sandy Koufax, the pitcher, the curveball pitcher, blowing out their elbow. And his genius idea was to drill holes in the humerus bone, cross the joint of the elbow, and drill holes in the ulna bone. So a ligament stabilizes a joint by being a piece of thick canvas, if you will, that crosses a joint. Well, as a baseball pitcher, you slowly but surely stretch it out. You can't really put stitches in to repair it because it's crappy. So you have to build a new one. How do you build a new one? This was Dr. Job's idea. Drill holes in the bone above the joint, the humerus, and below the joint. And just like you would drill holes in your sneaker, here's a Clapper vision, for your shoelaces, right? To lace up, you have holes in the tongue of your shoe, and you weave the shoelaces through, and then you tighten your shoe. Well, that's exactly what we do in the traditional Tommy John surgery, is drill holes, and then you use a ligament from the palm, it's called the palmaris longus, in your forearm, and you weave it by crossing it through those drill holes across the joint. That's the first surgery that Ohtani had, and that's the traditional one. The second surgery, which he needed because he now stretched out the repaired ligament. So what's done now is no longer do we drill holes in the bone, but we drill the screw itself. It's called a suture anchor. And we use a synthetic material, same stuff a bulletproof vest is made from, if you will, like Kevlar, and we put it inside the ligament itself, and that's called an internal brace. And that is what he's had done in the second one, which encourages the scar tissue to make that joint stable. He will be back, and he will be as good as new.
So, Doc, is that pretty much standard when you have a second Tommy John? Because I'm thinking about Walker Buehler also. And, you know, we thought he might be back at the end of last season, and now he's not going to be ready until they're saying May of this season. And he had his second Tommy John. So, A, I'm curious, you know, what you might consider could be a setback, and B, is what you just described standard on all second Tommy Johns?
Good question. The technology is continuing to really improve. So let me give you another clapper vision. Being Jewish, I may not be able to explain what it's like to pour concrete, but the sidewalk that we all walk on is not just concrete. In order to give the concrete extra reinforcement, you will watch them before they pour the liquid rock, if you will, that's concrete. They will lay rebar, iron rods on the dirt and then pour the liquid cement onto that. And when the concrete hardens, you now have a stronger sidewalk, if you will. It's not just relying on the concrete. The internal brace, the second operation for the Tommy John, is in essence using iron rods to reinforce the construct. But what's different and what continues to improve in my world of orthopedic surgery is now you're using a stainless steel rod, not an iron rod, which can rust. In other words, we keep improving the materials. We keep improving the way we can sink the stitches into the bone rather than making tunnels anymore. And that is a difference. And literally, a year from now, we will further improve the materials and the technique. It really is a dynamic world that I live in, which is sports medicine.
Doc, I have one more question for you because, you know, the pickleball tournament is coming up next Saturday, okay, the 23rd. And I've been playing a lot. I've been working hard. I've been training also just in general because I wanted to lose some weight, so I've lost 10 pounds. But I think I went too hard without a day off. I've been pushing myself for weeks without a day off, and I kind of tweaked my back a little bit. So right now as I talk to you, I've got an ice pack on. I'm working from home today because I got an ice pack on. I've taken to a leave, like, you know, a bunch of hours ago, and I every four, you know, in the 4 hours in between, because I believe it's eight every 8 hours, I can take some more. I'm taking some Tylenol, but I'm also I have a muscle relaxer from when the last time I threw my back a few months ago from similar episode. So I'm gonna take that at night because that's gonna get me a little drowsy. But am I doing the right cocktail with some rest for a few days, and I'll be good to go by Saturday? Do you think I'll be able to perform at a good level by Saturday?
No.
Ha! And next Saturday?
And here's why.
Uh-oh.
And you ready for a clapper vision, George Sedano?
Sure. Give it to me. Yeah.
Dr. Clapper, I've been coughing so much, I'm coughing up a lung. What can you do to help me? My doctor gave me Robitussin. It works. I feel so much better because I'm not coughing anymore. George, did you have a fever? Yeah, a little bit. Well, then the reason for your cough is you have pneumonia. You have an infection. Oh my. So merely just going after the cough is great for the Robitussin. But it's going to come back once the Robitussin wears off, because you did not address the reason for the cough, which is the infection in your lung.
Right.
So in order to stop coughing and keep it from coming back again,
yeah,
I don't want you to have Robitussin. You need antibiotics, George.
Right.
Then you stop coughing because you get rid of the infection.
Right.
So you can take all the muscle relaxation in the world, George. You are covering up the muscle spasm, but you must ask yourself, why is my back going into spasm? You're going into spasm because your body is trying to rigidly fire the muscles to stabilize the discs in your lower back, which are kissing. You talk about canoodling. Your discs are kissing your nerves. And the reality is if you keep masking your symptoms, I'm telling you, you're going to do more damage, only you won't feel it as you further go down the rabbit hole of damaging your lower back.
Boy,
the answer is you've got to strengthen. I don't want cortisone shots. I don't want epidurals. I don't want muscle relax. You holistically need to strengthen the muscles in your back.
Okay.
They will be an internal stabilizer for your spine. And not only will your pain and spasm go away, but it won't come back again because you'll be stronger.
Boy, okay.
Who should have dropped two on the team?
In the meantime, if I take enough muscle relaxers and a leave, will I be good to go? Will I be able to play in 10 days?
You'll be able to play, but what happens is you no longer have that beautiful information of pain from your body that you're hurting yourself.
Yeah.
You know what? Hurting the team, too. Clapper, I got to do what it takes. Mamba mentality, buddy. I got to go through the pain to be able to win the tournament. Right. Okay?
I mean, my goodness. I mean, he was going to drop me.
You know, George, about Kobe? Kobe didn't need any of this stuff. Kobe could walk to the foul line with a completely torn Achilles tendon without drugs and tell himself, I'll deal with this later. That's Mamba mentality. That's what I need from you, George Sedano. Not the drugs making you not feel it, but your brain.
Yeah. Don't mask it, George. Don't mask it. Feel it. And don't come out there hurting the team. I mean, if you're not well enough to play, don't play. I'll take Trudell.
Well, you really will be in a pickle at that ball game.
There you go. Look at that. Dr. Clapper, you're the best, buddy. Thank you for joining us, as always.
Oh, it's my pleasure. God bless you guys.
Love you, Doc. See ya.
All right, Cappy. You're listening to KSB in Los Angeles. Before we move on, and I send more people to Terminal H, you got to tell people about the water boy, okay? People need to talk to the water boy because you know what? Just like my back is not doing so well, some people's pipes aren't doing so well.
That is absolutely true. And I'll just say one thing. I loved it. The other day, we were talking about the water boy on the air, and one of our Circle of Trust listeners was driving down the freeway, and he was right behind a water boy truck. So it was a truck that was decorated with all the water boy like logos all over it, and he snapped the picture, be careful while driving. He snapped the picture and he sent it to us. That's really cool, man. I love to hear that you guys are out there listening. You guys are hearing the ads. You know, you're knowing our sponsors, and then you see them and you're like, oh, look, the water boy. I know those guys. Listen, if you have a leak in your house, and in many instances, you may not even know it. I've told the story. I had a leak at my house, and the floors were like being affected. And I'm like, what's going on with the floors here? And I finally called somebody, and they came out, and they're like, oh, my God, dude, you've had this leak underneath your house. Your pipes have burst, and this has been going on for a really long time. And then it turned into mold and all kinds of problems. But you see, things are happening in your house and you may not even know it. The Water Boy specializes in pressurized leak detection. It's all they do day in and day out is they go to people's homes and they find leaks, and they've got all the state-of-the-art equipment that lets them do it through vision and through acoustics. They can see it, they can hear it because they know what they're doing. Could be a failing toilet, could be a burst pipe, but listen, they've got so much experience from water damage restoration to general construction and plumbing that when they put these things together, it allows them to master the art of leak detection. And whether you're a homeowner, a property manager, or a realtor, you need to make sure you know whether or not there is some sort of a leak that is going on in this house. So here's what I'd like you to do. Call Omer. He's the man at the Water Boy. You hear that? Omer is the man at the Water Boy leak detection. Call him. 818-518-5055. I'll slow it down for you guys. 818-518-5055. You call Omer and you tell him that you're hearing about him on 710 on Sedano and Cap. Call Omer at the Water Boy leak detection.